And I'd known her for a couple of years, kind of casually. But the moment I picked up the phone and I dialed the call, some of you know about that? And I was scared. I was, But I went ahead, I made the call anyway, and I asked her. Now, what if I had chickened out? What if my fear had been stronger? What would I have missed out on? You know, how much emptier my life would have been. What a difference it made to not allow fear to control. Okay, I want to say to you this morning that this might be a need for you to deal with fear and let God help you not let fear control you, because the difference in our lives is tremendous when fear is controlling us. I remember at age 14, lying in bed at night for many weeks thinking, God was tugging at my heart. I was dealing with the need to really believe him and surrender to him personally. I was a church kid who knew all the answers, knew a lot of the Bible already, had been to Sunday school, but that, you know, you have to have more than that to really be a believer, to be a follower of Jesus. You have to personally seek him, ask him to forgive you and to be your Savior. Make the choice to repent, to turn around, to go with Jesus. You know, it's not just attending church. And I was struggling with that, but I was afraid. I was afraid of what God would ask of me if I said yes. I've got a very vivid imagination. So stuff was going through my head, and I was afraid to trust God. Well, I struggled quite a few nights agonizing over this. But there came a day when finally I just took the step. I said, I'm sorry, God, for staying away from you in my own heart, wanting to go my own way, and I trusted him. And, you know, I just did that in spite of my fear. The risk of following Jesus, you know? How will that change your life? I think a lot of people are afraid to make that step. Of course, it was the best decision I ever made. Many of you know Katie Sullivan, who left us to be with the Lord last year. And Ruth and I went to high school with her. And we knew her at the time, but not real well. And she told me one time that when she was in high school, she had some Christian friends. And she knew that she needed to turn to Jesus. She learned enough to realize that. But she was afraid, just like I was. And she didn't make that step of faith. Instead, she married a guy, turned out to be a drug dealer and abusive, had a really bad life for several years, and got divorced. And she married her second husband, who was the guy who actually led her to Jesus. And she turned to Christ, and she began following Jesus. And you know, we knew her here as a godly, loving woman who followed Jesus, who blessed many people because God had changed her life. But it took her a few years longer than it should have because of fear. So fear can be a really bad thing in our life. Now, it can be good. It can lead us to avoid some bad things. You know, it might keep us from speeding. Some people, it doesn't keep from speeding, right? Maybe some of you. Some of the people I rode with in California last week. But that's when fear is a friend. Other times, fear will keep us from doing something good. You know, it'll keep us stuck in a bad place. It'll keep us from moving forward. It might keep us from a blessing that God has for us. Or it might keep us from courageously facing threats that need to be faced. Some of you are poorer today because of your fears. Maybe poorer financially, maybe poorer in your life, your relationships. Some of you suffer needlessly because of fear. You might be afraid to try something new because of fear. Have you ever avoided people from fear? Or failed to mend a relationship because of fear? So, if you let people control you in unhealthy ways because of fear, that's not good. Have you failed to follow God's leading because of fear? Do you have an addiction that's really driven by fear? And you escape in that way. We might deny that we have much fear, but the trouble is fear can become so normal that you don't even notice it. It's just the way you are day after day after day, and you lost contact with what's really happening in you. You can be used to constant anxiety. And I know that anxiety also can have some chemical basis, so that's a little different matter. You can have the chemicals in your brain that cause you to go there a lot. But we're talking about the part of fear that we have a choice in. The angels would come to people in the Bible and say, "Fear not." Now, to me, that says we have some choice in whether we fear or not. Gabriel says, "Don't be afraid." We must be able to do it, right? I wouldn't ask it. So let's begin with a verse here in 1 John. This is part of the answer to fear. It's love. Let's look at this a little bit. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. What casts out fear? Yeah. Now, I'll tell you a story. David Wilkerson was a young preacher in Pennsylvania. Any of you ever read his book? Or a few, yeah. Cross and the Switchblade, yeah. And one day he saw in the news a story about the gangs in New York and how they did drugs and how they fought each other and some even were killed and many of the members died at a young age. And his heart was moved. And he began to pray every night for these gang members. And one day, God moved David to go to New York and share Jesus with these gang members. He slept in his car, can you imagine, on the street, because he couldn't afford a hotel. And he began to talk with gang members about Jesus. Well, one day, a gang leader named Nicky Cruz confronted David on the street. Nicky was the head of the Mau Mau gang, which was over 100 guys and known to be the fiercest gang in New York. And Nicky was very upset. He pulled a knife and he told David, "You stop messing with my gang members." David told Nicky, "God loves you, Nicky." Nicky said, "I'm going to cut you up." And calmly, David replied, "You could do that, Nicky. You could cut me up into 1,000 pieces here on the sidewalk. And each one would just keep saying, 'Nicky, God loves you. Nicky, God loves you.'" Nicky turned and ran away. Now, why do you think that this unarmed preacher had no fear? But the guy with the knife, the gang leader, ran away. David loved these guys. As nasty as they were, as messed up as they were, God had put in his heart a love for them. And the more he prayed for them, the more his love grew. And that's a secret to loving. Pray for people, and you'll love them more. Pray for your husband or your wife, your kids, anybody in your life. Pray for your nasty boss. You love grows when you bring people before God and ask God to bless them, guide them, and help them. So anyway, love was the secret here. Why David could do that. I mean, most of us would say, go into the slums of New York to where the gangs control everything, go right into the middle of their turf, and try to tell them to come to Jesus? Isn't that dangerous? Well, yeah. But there's something more important than avoiding danger. We Christians really need to grasp that, because sometimes we just cocoon and hide away, keep ourselves separated, but we really are meant to be more bold and get out there where people need the Lord. But that's just free. That's a side. So David had a love for God, and he had a love for Nikki. And he fasted as he prayed. They were on his heart. He cared about what happened to them. He had compassion on them. They didn't deserve his compassion, did they? Just like we don't deserve God's compassion. But love overcame his fear. Fear is about ourselves. Love is about others. Maybe someone's hurt you, and it stings, it's a wound, it's a memory, and you fear they could hurt you again. And what are you thinking about? Yourself. You have your walls up, protective, because something happened. You don't want it to happen again. What if you ask God to give you more love for that person? Even though they might not deserve your love. But for you to desire the best for them, and for God to bless them and give them good in their life. What if you began praying for them? Your fear would go down. God's word says so. Perfect love casts out fear. So, dealing with fear, here's one part of the answer from the Bible. Matthew 4:5-44 says, I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Jesus was radical. This is not what any human being on this earth would come up with. Only God would say this to us, right? But it's true. The wisdom of God is a different level than the so-called wisdom of man. I want you to think for a minute about what fear Jesus might have felt as he was thinking about hanging on the cross for your sin. How would you feel if you knew that was ahead of you? Jesus was human and divine. He had the human emotions. He felt it. But he went ahead anyway, because his love was greater than the fear. He said, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for a friend. And he did that. He fulfilled that himself. So Jesus' perfect love for you cast out fear. He was not afraid to die for you. Have you been afraid to live for him? I have at times. I think we all have. Well, not long after that encounter with David Wilkerson on the street, Nikki Cruz repented and gave his life to Jesus. That's Nikki on the left. He doesn't look very fierce, does he? He's only, I think, 17 or 18 at the time. He had stabbed 15 people before he came to Christ. Fortunately, none of them died. David Wilkerson's on the right. Nikki is giving David his baseball bat that he used to use to beat people with and taking the Bible. This story moved me greatly in high school because a book came out, The Cross and the Switchblade, that told the story. And then David Wilkerson came to Spokane and spoke at the Coliseum. It was jammed completely full. And there was an empty seat. And shortly after that, I think the next year, Nikki came and shared his testimony in Spokane. So these were Christians that influenced my life in the area of being bold. Don't just hang around in your own safe world. That's not what God wants from his people. We are soldiers. Go into all the world, okay? And, okay, cool thing happened just a few years ago when we were in Austria. This is Nikki today. He's been an evangelist all these years. He's 80 years old now. He's still preaching, and I heard him preach in Vienna at a church because he has remained faithful and served God now all these years after the horrible start he had. But you see how love, God used love to get to Nikki, and a man who let his fear be overcome by his love. Do you have an enemy that you fear? Someone has said that the best way to destroy an enemy is to turn him into a friend. And God's able to do that. There's a little poem I love. He drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the will to win. We drew a circle that took him in. We often fear because we do not love enough. We also fear because we do not believe enough. And listen to these scriptures. Jesus saying, do not be afraid, only believe. What's the alternative to fear? Believe. So the psalmist writes, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. And this principle is, wow, everywhere in the Bible. What are we talking about here, though? What should we believe? How does believing deal with fear? Should we just believe everything will be okay? People say that, and Christians say that. But God's going to make everything okay. Now, that's not quite right. Just believe things will work out like we want them to all the time? Just believe bad things won't happen? No. God never told us that bad things won't happen to us. And he said, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, we would like to think that God would fix everything for us. And he won't. He will fix some things. And he wants us to pray. He said we should pray that he will fix things for us. And many times he will, but he won't always. Because the purpose of life is not our ease. It's not our comfort. It's not our enjoyment. That's not the real reason we're here. So that if we just have everything go our way all the time, then that's a fulfilled life. Uh-uh. Many people live for this, though. Many people live, they want perfect safety, perfect comfort, you know. Not us Christians. We know better, right? Or maybe we don't know better, but we should know better. We live to follow Jesus and to honor him through anything that comes. So, it's going to be messy. we hold on. We seek and look to Jesus, whatever. 100% comfort and enjoyment is in heaven, not here. So when you get married, what do you vow? You know, to love that person in sickness and in health, in plenty and in want, in joy and in sorrow, right? You hold on. You're together. It's something greater. It's about your marriage. It's about each other. It's about your family. And you hang in there and you do it together. You make that promise. And that's what our life with God is like too. We belong to Him and we trust the one we belong to. We don't trust what will happen. We trust whom we belong to. As long as we belong to Him, whatever happens, in the end, it's okay, even if we die. Like Esther said in the Bible, when she tried to save her people and knew that she could be killed for it, she did what God wanted her to do. If I perish, I perish. People have asked me about, we go to Austria and work with refugees, and majority of them are Muslims, and some of them are no doubt bad people. Not most, but a few are, I'm sure. And what's going to happen, you know? Is somebody going to come and shoot us all? Or is somebody going to plant a bomb? Maybe. We spent 2 years all together in Austria now, over the last 16, and never had a threat. But it could happen. But my take on that is, God's called us to do this. People need Jesus. Maybe there's some risk. Doesn't seem like very much. If I perish, I perish. That's kind of irrelevant. There's something bigger here. So, what happens when you go through trouble? What's happening when you know God and He loves you and you're trusting Him? Here's what He says. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. God is there. And I can verify that personally. You know, I've been through some swirling waters in my life that would threaten to overflow me and get me really down or really hurting. But I didn't get swept away. I didn't get destroyed. I came through. I want to ask a question. If you would like to raise your hand to this, please raise your hand. Here's my question. How many of you have been through some deep, troubling times and God has brought you through? Wow. I'm not surprised, because this is what God does. And somehow you become more what He wants you to be after that, too. I mean, He does something good through the bad. There's a scripture that's really helped me a lot about fear. So I want to share that in closing. And it's this one here. God has not given us a spirit of fear. This is really first thing to remember. Okay, when I'm afraid, when you're afraid, you realize I'm afraid. But God didn't give this to me. This isn't from God. So, I mean, if it's from God, it's a good thing. And sometimes actually, well, no side rabbit trails. We got to talk to ourselves. And so when I'm afraid, I say to myself, so that I will hear what I'm actually saying to myself, this is not from God. Okay, so this is not really what God wants for me, to be afraid person. Romans 8:15 says, "You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father." So, see here again, talking about what God gives us. It's not a spirit of bondage, and it's not a spirit that brings us to be afraid people. But instead, what God has given us is the place of being adopted as His forever child. We just went to an adoption in California last week and saw our little grandson officially by the judge pronounced to be now officially my son and daughter-in-law's child. It was so cool. A lot of joy, because here's a child now who's wanted, who's protected, who's cared for, who is part of a family, and will always be. And this is what God has done with you when you believe in Jesus Christ. You are in a family that lasts forever, and He's keeping you. And so, this is what we receive from God, not a spirit that leads us to fear. Okay? And then it goes so far as to say, I mean, this is the holy God, the creator of the universe. And He says in His word, essentially, we can call Him Daddy. That's what Abba, Father, means. I mean, we can have intimacy with God, which is, it's mind-blowing, because do you realize how big God is? Wow. You know, just study the universe a little bit. God is so, so big. How can, you know, I can't understand it. But God Himself says to us, you can consider me like a dear loving daddy. Wow. So the verse goes on, though. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. So I say to myself when I feel afraid, wait a minute. What God says is that He will give me power. So I can get through this. He will strengthen me. I'm going to make it. God's power is sufficient. And that's what I say to myself. Do you talk to yourself? I hope you do. You know, because sometimes you have some really good things to say to yourself. And you need to hear what you have to say to yourself. It'll change your life to listen to good advice that you actually know, but you need to say it back to yourself so you remember it. Okay? God has given us a spirit of power. And I'm thinking, yes. Immediately my confidence goes up. And then, but the verse isn't done. Power and love. We already talked about love is the thing that takes away fear, yeah? Loving. God can allow me to love this person I'm afraid of, if it's a person. And so, God, yes, please give me a love right now. I'm afraid. I need to be able to love. And then the verse isn't done yet. Story. The lady in the middle is Anya Sanders and her husband Paul. They're missionaries that our church supported for many years. They've retired now. They're actually still quite active. Anya's is a doctor. She started a clinic in Lebanon in a camp of Palestinians who are basically 100% Muslim and the poorest of the poor in Lebanon. And in her clinic, people would come every day, and she also started a school, and they were teaching the children reading, writing, arithmetic, and every Saturday they had a Bible club, and they taught them stories from the Bible and taught them about Jesus, Muslim kids. And out of that, there's a lot of children who came to believe. One day, an angry Muslim man came into her clinic with a gun, said he was going to kill her. He was angry because they were teaching these kids that Jesus was the Savior and they needed Jesus. And yes, let me tell you, she loves these people. And she, I don't know why she didn't have any fear. Yes, I do know. That was why. She said to the guy, you don't want to kill me. You know, if you kill me, where are you going to get another doctor that will come and take care of all these families and all these kids that need medical help? You know, nobody else is going to come if you kill me. So, you know, think again. And he relented and left. The story is, I wanted to give you some real life examples of Christians that faced and dealt with fear because of love. So I love that story. And Agnes goes to Lebanon every year still and works in that clinic for like a few weeks a year, even though she's retired and she's what? Well, Paul's older. Paul's 72, I think, or 73. And she's about 68 or 69. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I say to myself when I'm afraid, wait a minute, is this rational? God has given me ability to be logical. I'm not always logical. How about you? But you have that ability to be logical about things, to not blow things out of proportion, to not exaggerate something that's going on, to think it through, to not imagine trouble that isn't there. You have the ability to rein yourself in, get the brain working, and not just emotions, and let God's Spirit enable you to think clearly and evaluate reasonably and to believe God, and to believe God's promises. And so I say to myself, yes, God. Yeah, help me think this through. Let me step back. Help me to see it clearly and correctly. And those three gifts from God, His power, the ability to love, and sound thinking, are how we respond to fear. And it works. I'm amazed. Saying that verse to myself in a dicey situation has helped me so much, many times. I memorized it. You could memorize it. So let's not be fearful Christians in this world, okay? Let us boldly go into the world for Jesus. Let us face what we have to face and love everybody and trust God. That's a nutshell. Let's pray. God, thank you that you have given us an answer to fear. And thank you, Lord, that you really don't want us just to live a safe life. You know, no matter how hard we try to live a safe life, actually we're not going to be that safe anyway. But Lord, you've called us to go, to take risks for you, to go out of our comfort zone, to be bold. You've called us to do things we've never done before. You've called us to meet people that we've never met before. You've called us to make a difference where we had no idea we could make a difference. Well, thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that life with you is an adventure. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the tools to deal with it. And you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. I think now we just say, have a good week and God bless you. Okay.